Lord, we come to you once again knowing that you are God and we are not. I pray that our hearts will be tender towards you and help us to be still and to know that you truly are God. Amen. I'm kind of wishing that Paul would get off of this topic because it speaks too much to me, and I would prefer that he'd just leave me alone. We're going to be talking about anger again today. You keep thinking that you've gotten past that concept of being angry, and then it sneaks up on you in different ways. And I was reminded this week, how many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is? She was a lady that from Holland. Her neighbors had turned her and her family in because they were Jewish, and they got sent to concentration camps. What's that?
They took in Jewish people. They weren't Jewish. That's okay.
They took in Jewish people. They got turned into that. Either way. Okay. Kathy knows the story better. She actually got to hear Corrie Ten Boom speak at one point.
Yeah.
In this concentration camp, they were pretty well abused. Her father died. Her brother, mother, sister, everybody. Everybody's dead. It was terrible. Kathy should tell this story. Sister died.
Betsy,
yeah. And she went through an awful lot. And then at the end of all this, she ended up, you know, surviving somehow. And you know, you get survivor's guilt and all the other stuff that goes with it. But she started ministering to people about forgiveness. And she would go around and preach and teach about forgiveness. And at one point, she felt led to go back to Germany and teach about forgiveness there. And she was, in particular, service a pretty large congregation, and she gave a sermon, a lesson on forgiveness, and she was feeling pretty good until she realized, as everybody's going out, she recognized one of the gentlemen in the congregation, and he was starting to walk up towards her. And in her mind, she's back in the concentration camp, because this was one of her guards. And he comes up and he says, "Fräulein, that was a beautiful sermon on forgiveness." And he puts his hand down and says, "I know I'm forgiven by God, but I'd love to be forgiven by you." I don't think he recognized her, but she'd just given this sermon on forgiveness and how anger's a bad thing and all of this. And she starts fiddling with whatever she could to avoid putting her hand out and shaking his hand. And we can think that yeah, it's done, that work's finished in us, and it wasn't. And finally, she just realized, I mean, it's like, okay, God's speaking through her and saying, this is what you have to do, whether you feel it or not. You know, love and forgiveness has nothing to do with how you feel. It has more to do with who God is, and it's an action. And so she put her hand out, and as she took his hand, she just felt Holy Spirit working through her, and she felt the love of God, that she could forgive this man, because she knew that in her own strength, absolutely not, there's no way that she could. And so if we think that we've conquered a particular sin, you know, sins that so easily beset us, that Hebrews talks about, that sin of anger, that sin of wrath or bitterness or whatever, if we think that we've conquered that, and we find ourselves in a situation where we realize, whoops, it's still there, you know, we've got to just lean on God and trust that he's going to take us to that next step. So Paul keeps coming back to this. There's a reason for it. And so I'm going to talk about it again. In your Bibles, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, page 1787 in the Pew Bibles. Of course, going back to the beginning of the book, just a reminder, this is a book that's an epistle, a letter that's written to holy people, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Hopefully that includes all of us. And you recognize that holy, faithful people still have sin problems in their lives. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Most of you probably have this memorized by now. You've heard it again and again, right? Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So you put off the old self, you're made new in the attitude of your mind, and you put on the new self. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You don't lie, you put off, you speak truth, you put on, and because we're all members of one body, that's the reason we can be made new in the attitude of our mind. In your anger, do not sin. So it's like we're being given permission in this verse to be angry. I like this verse better than the one we're going to get to today. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. So you put off anger. You don't hold on to it. You settle things quickly. Don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Again, the whole put off, put on. Why? Well, you need something to share. So your attitude is different. It's like, instead of just trying to think about what's in it for me, it's like, what can I do for others? And that's the attitude that God gives us. He's constantly trying to say, it's not about you. It's all about Him. Share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So unwholesome talk, you put that off. Helpful, edifying talk, put that on. And it's so that you can be a benefit to those that are around you, those that are listening. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then today's verse, and I put it in two translations here just so you can kind of see the similarities and differences. New International Version, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. New King James Version, it's let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Clamor is probably not a word we use a lot, but it's something we probably hear a lot if you watch debates or news or anything. So, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. It almost sounds like he's forgotten verse 26 that he said, be angry and sin not. It's close enough after that, though, that I think he's realizing that we probably have more of a propensity to think that our anger is justifiable than we do to realize that it's not, and we need to get rid of it. Just can't hold on to that bitterness. It eats us up worse than the people we're angry with. It tears us apart. That bitterness is kind of just a resentment. How many of us have individuals in our lives that when we're around them or near them, it's like this thing starts churning up in us? We resent their existence. We wish that God would deal with them appropriately. We explain to God all the reasons why He should smite them. And He says, remember, I loved you so much too that I died for you. So, you know, that changing the attitude of our mind is kind of important. If we're going to get rid of bitterness, if we're going to get rid of resentment, we have to realize that God had every reason to be bitter or resentful about how we treated Him. Every time we sin, every time we don't do the right thing when we know we should be doing the right thing, that's sin. If we do something in our own strength and not through faith, that's sin. And each time we do that, we're putting another burden on Christ. And you would think that he's got a right to be a little upset with us, a little bitter, and yet he says, no, I love you. I'll die for you. I'll do anything for you. And so we have to recognize that and then change that attitude of our mind so we can put away this resentment. And then that next word, rage. It's kind of a violent, uncontrollable anger. If you have ever been there, it's not a pleasant thing to own up to. How many of you have ever had rage? It's this anger that's boiling over inside of you. It's uncontrollable. It's you don't wake up in the morning and say, boy, I hope I can find some reason to go into a rage today. And yet it still happens. And if you get there, it's like, okay, you don't feel like you're in control. Well, you're not. That anger, that rage, that wrath, that bitterness has taken control of you. And like Scripture is a good warning, it keeps on warning us, be careful, watch out, don't go there. And it says what we can do to replace it, overcome evil with good. There's a lot of ways. And verse 32, which we're not going to get to today, is a whole lot about how to overcome verse 31 here. This is the put off verse. Next week is the put on verse. It's this concept of rage. It's wow. You just go into something and you realize that I'm no longer in control, and no matter how hard I try to control my mouth, my voice, my action, even my body starts to shake and heat up, and it's this is not good. Now, how can this come right after he just said in a few verses previously that you can be angry and sin not? Kind of trying to find that. I hope I can cover that well. Anger, again, it's just a strong annoyance, hostility. It's kind of be angry and sin not, and yet here it is, like, get rid of all anger. How many of you have ever had a fever? Is a fever good or bad? Both. EMTs? What's a benefit of a fever? It's trying to kill the infection that's in you. It's trying to take care of your body recognizes there's something wrong and it heats up. Sometimes when we're angry, it's like, okay, there's a real problem. This isn't pretend. It's not imaginary. You didn't make up this grievance that you have. It's a real grievance, and you can get hot about that. You can get angry. You can get feverish. And that's not the sin part. There's nothing wrong with your body heating up to a certain point. It's if it gets too hot for a prolonged period of time, then you've got a problem. So when Paul had just warned us, be angry and sin not, it's like, yeah, anger's there. It's kind of like a help to you. You recognize that there's a problem. Now deal with it. Okay? If we just mask the anger, didn't take care of the underlying problem. So there's still something needs dealt with. If we just mask the fever, what's the first thing you want to do? You get a fever, you want to find a fever reducer, right? So you start popping pills and hoping that the fever goes down, but it's like the infection's still there. And unless that infection gets burnt up and goes away, you've defeated the benefit of the fever, the benefit of the anger. There's a lot of weird, gross things that our body does. If you think about vomiting and diarrhea and eye boogers and all that kind of stuff, it's like all of that has some medical use and some benefit. It's like if you've got something in your stomach that doesn't belong there and you're vomiting or sending it out the other end, it's like there's a good reason to expel that from your body. And you know, God has put these safeguards in his creation so that, you know, you watch animals walking around and all of a sudden, you know, cats are spitting up fur balls and dogs are vomiting and eating grass and doing weird things. And, you know, we as humans too, we try to mask all that and prevent it. But sometimes, you know, the best cure is get some Ipecac syrup and get that out of your system. Get that cleansed. Even, you know, if you start bleeding, there's extremes. You can have clotting. Clotting's a good thing. You can scab up and it's going to, you know, take care of closing up that wound and then it can heal better. And there's going to be all of these cells under there, the T cells or whatever they are, and it's going to help you with your healing. Now, if you don't have clotting, you know, hemophilia, I mean, how many of us have known somebody that has got such thin blood that they can't clot and any little scratch can be life-threatening? Or if you go to the other extreme where you're just constant clotting and then you get clots in your lungs and in your heart and then in all kinds of places that can kill you, in your brain, you know, that clotting is a good thing, but it's an extreme too. And so when I look at Paul's admonition, his warning here, it's be angry and don't sin in verse 26, but here he's like, get rid of anger. Let anger do its job quickly, because it's not something you want to hang on to.
if you've got a fever of over 103, 104, and it's there for an extended period of time, it's going to start killing cells that you want to keep, brain cells that you might need later. And then this brawling and slander. Brawling is like the word clamor there in the New King James or King James Version. It's a noisy fight, a quarrel. You've been in that fight, that quarrel with your spouse or with your kids or with somebody else where you feel like if you raise your voice just enough, you're going to win. Sorry. We go there sometimes. It's like, okay, I'm not winning this argument on the merits, and so I'm going to raise my voice and I'm going to yell louder and I'm going to get angry. I saw that on the Democratic debate last time we were watching, and it's like all of a sudden they're all shouting at each other. It's like nobody's listening and there's nothing being accomplished, but there they go. And if you've never done that, congratulations. I think we've all kind of been there at one time or another in our lives. If we haven't been on the outside, we've certainly had some internal clamor. And then slander, your false statements that try to damage somebody else's reputation. I try to always, claim that my slander is not really slander, because if it's true, it's not true slander, right? So then you can go and not, hurt someone's reputation, as long as it's true or there's a little ounce of truth in it. It's like, I think we should probably err on the side of just not gossiping and speaking out against others. This is something when you're not to grieve the Holy Spirit was last week's verse. And the very next thing is, and by the way, this is another way that you can grieve Holy Spirit. Is with bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, clamor, and then with all malice. It's like you have ill intent. You have bad feelings towards somebody, and you have the intention of doing evil to them. Malice. You can do something to hurt someone accidentally. I think most of us have done that. But when you do it intentionally, with malice, then there's that, go a little further, with malice aforethought. It's premeditated malice. You wanted to hurt them and you thought about it for a while and you planned it out and then you went and did it. And that's something that Paul's just reminding holy, faithful ones to stop doing, to get away from. Now, how do you do that? It's the Corrie Ten Boom thing. I don't have the strength to do that on my own. But I can lean into God and He can do that through me. And His love is going to be demonstrated through my actions. So love is a feeling, love is an action, but it's supported by feelings and it's something that we actually have to do. And if we want to get rid of bitterness, we're going to have to replace that with something. We'll talk about that next week. If we want to get rid of rage and anger and clamor and slander and evil speaking, we want to cleanse our hearts and our minds. We can try to eliminate all that in our own strength. Not going to happen. It's going to keep coming back. There'll be a vacuum. It'll be filled. Or we can find a way to just lean into God and let Him do the work that we know He will and can do in us and through us. We have to find that balance, okay, that, be angry and don't sin. Well, there's a fever. Have a fever, but don't let it kill you. Finding that balance, that harmony of design, that harmony of proportion, the right amount of heat to kill the infection, but not kill all the good cells. If you're going through cancer treatment, some of you have done that. There's a point where this feels like it's doing more harm than good. When my mom got to that point, she says, I'm done. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't need any of this. And she just stopped treatment. She ended up being healed, and we had a few more years with her. Then the leukemia came back. But it's like there's a point where sometimes a fever is not a bad thing. You know, you get those cold chills, the goosebumps are coming on you, and you're cold but you're hot all at the same time, and your fever is making you feel cold. But it's doing something in you. It's doing an act of goodness to kill the infection or whatever is creating that fever in you. And if we're going to be angry, let's allow God to do His work through our anger even. I mean, we can be angry and not sin. We can be angry and just keep turning it over to God. It's like, okay, I can't hold on to this because it's going to become roots of bitterness. I can't hold on to this, or there's going to be clamor. There will be evil speaking. There will be malice if I hold on to this anger, this fever too long. But if we can just keep on giving it back to God and recognizing that He's the healer, He's the one that's going to make things right, then we can have what's called homeostasis, that tendency towards, you know, a relatively stable equilibrium. It's not perfection, but it's like we can have the proper balance of what we need to have in our lives, and none of these little things are going to push us to the brink and cause us harm. Thank you, Jesus, for this reminder in your word to put away certain things, to take off the clothing of anger and bitterness and wrath. Calm our spirits and help us to learn to do that next step of love and forgiveness. Your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.